Hello and welcome to the A Perspective with me, Andrew Skipper. I'm head of the Africa practice for international law firm Hogan Lovells and a member of the UK government's Africa Investors Group. I'm passionate about Africa and providing legal support for companies who are invested in the continent's future. This is the first of series two of these podcasts where I'm exploring how business and government are working together in Africa, particularly as we navigate our way through the COVID-19 pandemic. My guest today is Miguel Azevedo. Miguel is an investment banker with Citigroup who's worked on some of the biggest deals in Africa. He heads up the investment banking for the Middle East and Africa, although excluding South Africa, and Portugal. Prior to working at Citigroup, Miguel was a senior country advisor for Bank of America Merrill Lynch and an executive director in Goldman Sachs. His deals in Africa include the IPOs of Seplat, Airtel Africa, and Vivo, and in the M&A space, Access buying Diamond Bank, Seplat buying Island, and TGI selling CHI to the Coca-Cola company, all in 2019. Miguel is one of the best-known commentators on the African market, so no one is better able to help me understand where we are. Miguel now joins us from lockdown in Lisbon. Welcome, Miguel.
Thank you, Andrew.
It's great to speak to you again, but as somebody who has been described, I know, as an Afro-optimist, how has your been and have you maintained this optimism during the time?
Well, the simple answer is yes, but I think that the optimism is a little bit on pause now. I think it comes with additional challenges, but as always, I still believe that we will find that the right companies, the right entrepreneurs, the right people to win over all those challenges. So we remain optimistic.
That's great. And I know you make regular contributions to conferences where we have them, because I meet you at many of them, and now we're all on webinars. But when you, in your discussions, can you see any consensus as to Africa after COVID emerging from the extraordinary plethora of comment? And can you try and distill that for me in a couple of sentences to help me?
I'm not sure what I'm going to say is the consensus, but it is at least how I see it. And let me just make four or five comments. The first one is that we have been through, in the last few weeks, through the short-term liquidity crisis. Mm. That has been managed, but what's really important is the long-term solvency. And yeah, that is where the big challenge is and where all the effort needs to be put in. So that's one. You know, it's more about long-term solvency than short-term liquidity. The second one is the focus over the last few weeks or months has been on debt restructuring or reprofiling or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's really urgent and very important. But what is really important is equity investment. What Africa needs is more equity and less debt. And the success will only come if we increase the capacity to generate wealth from more equity being invested in the continent. So the third point I would highlight is that so far, you know, the focus has been on government intervention, whether you do lockdown or not, some countries, whether you create these special regimes, how the governments deal with the IMF and creditors. So it's more about government intervention. But what is really important is over the long term, the government discipline is how governments will run these countries to attract more foreign direct investment. What will be the industrial and macroeconomic policies that will make investment more attractive? What will the governments do not to crowd out private initiatives? So that's the third element I would focus on. And maybe the last one is about, you know, we have been focusing on the financial package of the crisis. How we going to get money to deal with the crisis? What is the size of the checkbook? Mm. To me, what is more important is the governance package. What are we going to do different in the future so that we can attract more capital into the country? And what is the checklist that we need to tick in terms of getting the money properly deployed so that once and for all, we have a different economy in the country, in the continent. So if you want, I think this is the time where the checklist is at least equally important to the checkbook.
I see what you're saying there, because the because one of the issues you and I have been discussing recently anyway is the issue of sovereign debt. And I've been talking to a number of my friends on the continent who basically said to me they're concerned we're just going backwards and simply piling on more debt is not only kicking a can down the road, but is more like a snowball rolling down a hill. And that picks up really your point about governance, doesn't it? And what's your view on sovereign debt, going back to one of your first 2 points?
Well, I think this crisis has acted as an accelerator. And in what Africa is concerned, it accelerated the debt crisis. In many countries, the debt levels were already far too high before the crisis. And so this is just accelerating the search for a solution. And the search for a solution will have to involve some sort of reprofiling and eventually some sort of restructuring on a net present value basis. And this is on the bilateral loans. And by doing this, I think you will unlock and you will keep the capital markets open for the future. This is the major difference between this crisis and crisis before, is that this time Africa is very much dependent on capital markets. Mm. And I don't think you can shut that door, because at the end of the day, the countries around the world will have additional debt problems of their own to manage. And so their ability to fund Africa will be ceteris paribus smaller, and so Africa needs to keep access on their own to the capital markets. And I think that's what they need to do, is to reprofile, restructure the bilaterals, but implement the right policies to keep having access to the market. Having said that, Andrew, let me just highlight how things move so fast. If we were having this conversation 3 weeks ago, I probably, you know, being a practitioner and not a policymaker, I would have told you very difficult to bring sub-Saharan Africa country to the market to raise money through bonds in the capital markets. Today, as we speak, it is actually not the case anymore. I actually believe that today we can see African governments coming to the market, you know, tomorrow. So the markets have gone a long way, still more expensive than before crisis. But for many countries, the market is reopening, and that's encouraging. But again, we cannot go back, and to your point, right, we cannot go back to past mistakes. We have to make sure that investment is attracted at bigger levels, and we have more equity into the continent rather than debt.
I mean, you talked about this being a checklist, not a checkbook, but I think recently you were supporting the call for $100 billion fund to kickstart recovery, supporting growth. Is that number realistic, and where's it going to come from?
I don't know whether it is realistic. It doesn't sound too big to me. Any medium-sized country in Europe has had these kind of packages. So for the whole continent, cannot be that big. It doesn't need to be all in one shot. Of course, this is, even there is no capacity to absorb this amount of money. But this is the point, that what we need, and this is for the benefit of Africa, but it's also for the benefit of the rest of the world, and primarily Europe, which is just next door. We need to create jobs. We need to create the ability to produce more, import less, more jobs, more retention of people, and overall providing better quality of life.
Is there an appetite to continue to invest in Africa at the moment?
That's a very good question, because if you look back in terms of IPOs, in terms of what large private equity houses, global private equity houses have done in Africa in the last few years, and it's not brilliant, let's be honest. The returns have not been, in many cases, what they should have been. So what we basically need to do is create all the conditions to attract more capital, basically make sure that new and different conditions are in place, and to get the capital markets and get the sentiment changed, we definitely need some success. And we need to bring new stories to investors and those stories to be able to perform. In most cases, honestly, the companies have performed very well, but the macro environment has not been conducive or helpful. I think over time, things will balance out. And this is something we have to bear in mind, is that in Africa, if you go in, you have to be prepared to go for the long run, and longer run than elsewhere.
But do you think the stories, because I think at WEF in 2019, you said your job is actually to sell Africa stories. Do you think the, forget COVID, do you think overall the Africa story is not being told in a positive enough light, or do you think people are just not hearing it in a positive enough light? And where do you see the best stories at the moment?
Yeah, so I think we have great stories. And as I was saying, at the micro, i.e. the corporate level, we have great stories. What we have not had over the last few years is the right macroeconomic background. We have had plenty of FX devaluations. We have had FX, lack of availability of FX in many countries, which is even worse than devaluation. We have not seen the investment in public goods that we were, namely infrastructure, that we were expecting. So, you know, some of the money raised in the capital market has not been properly deployed with no returns. So that's what we need to see different. I'm still confident that this crisis can be a transformational moment where government realize that they need to do things different from the past, and they need to be more open, and they need to make their own economies more attractive. So again, going back to the point of being optimistic, I still believe there is enough growth in Africa. There are enough alpha opportunities in Africa to make it attractive to global investors.
Which countries do you think are best placed at the moment?
Yes. What the markets are telling us is that North and South Africa, and take, for example, Egypt and South Africa, have been less affected by COVID. And East and West have been a bit more affected. You know, North and South, the government bonds, they moved by 100 basis points, East and West, 200 basis points, and where the countries are too much oil dependent, a bit more than that. I think the opportunities will be very much dependent on what governments do to incentivize investment. So I will go for those countries where you see a government that is focused on creating investment-friendly environment. Any country can do that, and any country can do the opposite. And sometimes you move from one to the other very quickly. And it is this volatility, this uncertainty, that sometimes is troubling, and it is not helping you know, the great entrepreneurs that have plenty of opportunities. They have the capacity to explore those opportunities, but they need the capital from outside.
Do you see any particular sectors which are going to be strong, regardless of country?
I think telecoms will come out stronger, and this is, you know, this is not only specific to Africa. I think fintech and all the technology around payments will become stronger. I think at the end of the day, light manufacturing has to come out stronger because it is a need. If that does not happen, I think we are in trouble. At the end of the day, what allows you to create jobs and reduce your dependence on imports, because you will not have enough dollars to keep buying everything from outside.
Yeah, and you're a great advocate of African entrepreneurs, and President in Ghana is often talking about doing things in Africa for Africa. Is this now the time for African entrepreneurs to really take up that and do that?
I think so, honestly. And I think it is very possible, despite some setbacks, as we discussed before, it is very possible to get the capital needed to support them at all levels. You know, the large African companies, they can raise equity in international capital markets. The medium-sized companies can raise equity with, you know, with private equities and with many DFIs that are willing to invest more in Africa. Having said that, and to my point of the need for a fund, I still think that the continent as a whole needs an injection of capital to recover, not only recover from COVID, but use this as an opportunity to get to another level in terms of GDP, production capacity, call it that way.
I mean, the African Union's been calling for a new paradigm in Africa, looking to recalibrate its relationship with the world, taking advantage of disruption. Do you think this is, and even taking over from China on the global supply chain, do you think this is realistic and desirable?
Certainly desirable, a bit less realistic, I would say, in the short term. So I don't think we should raise the bar that high, because then we will have some disappointments. And but moving in that direction, definitely yes. And you can see it in some places. Let me just pick one that we haven't spoken yet, which is Ethiopia, the second largest sub-Saharan country in Africa in terms of population. They have embarked in this journey of developing traditional labor-intensive industry. And it's a long journey, it's difficult, but it's the right journey. So yes, but over the long term, not in the short term.
One specific example, which everybody was talking about at the beginning of the year, is the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement, which has now been delayed. But given the lamentable state of intra-Africa trade we see at the moment and the basic lack of scale in many countries, how important is it for the sort of businesses you represent to make this work, this agreement?
It's very important. In fact, what you see is the emergence of regional champions that are present in many countries, and they themselves trade between countries. And the African Continental Free Trade Agreement brings along a new paradigm for investment as well. And so companies feel more comfortable to go beyond their origin country. And that's exactly what I think we need. Hopefully this will be a transformational moment to enable that Pan-African presence, both in trade and investment.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is, you know, the resilience of African people, African entrepreneurs, African corporates is higher. And I'm confident that certainly with a lot of pain and losses, the wealth creators, the companies and the entrepreneurs and the people will come out strong. And hopefully this will provide an opportunity to change some of the things that didn't work so well in the past.
So as I've said, you are one of the leading private sector commentators on African business. What message do you have to business about what's being described as the future new normal?
COVID-19 is bringing decarbonization to the world. People are getting more concerned. ESG is becoming more of a topic. It's bringing deglobalization and is bringing digitization. Some are good, some are bad, but all will change the short term. So I think business in Africa need to recognize that this crisis is providing a unique opportunity to change things from the past. If nothing is changed, if the industrial paradigm is not changed, things are not going to improve. If you're in West Africa, the oil price is not going to help you in the future. If you're in East Africa, dependence on one or two agricultural commodities is not going to help you. You have to become more self-sustainable economies. And again, for that is very important, the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. But Africa can produce pretty much everything it needs.
Yes.
It just needs to get the plumbing right. And hopefully this is an opportunity for that to happen.
Fantastic. Miguel Azevedo of Citigroup, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time on the A Perspective.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And thank you for all the previous issues of the perspective, which have been very helpful to follow the developments in the continent during this lockdown. Thank you very much.